go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul. Needing a friend to help me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord? Yes, tell me where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul. Amen. Where could we go but to the Lord? Well, what a good place to go is to the Lord. Isn't it right? Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Such a privilege the Lord has given us once again to come into His sanctuary to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Why don't you turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet them in the name of the Lord, tell them you're glad to see Him in church on Wednesday night. What a privilege it is to be in the house of the Lord. Oh, tell me where could I go? God bless you. Appreciate you. God bless you. Appreciate you. Thank you, darling. I appreciate you. God bless you. Appreciate you. God bless you. Bless you, buddy. Somebody say praise the Lord. What a privilege it is to be in God's house. I'm going to let you be seated for just a few minutes tonight while we look at a prayer request. We'll have prayer tonight for Sister Martha Ann sends this in to please have prayer for my sister-in-law, Susie Hutto, who is having back surgery tomorrow, praying for a safe and speedy recovery. So they're asking that we would remember those needs tonight as we pray. We just commit those things unto the Lord. I want to pray for Sister Linda Loris. She has bronchitis again and is on her second round of antibiotics, so let's remember her. I want to pray for David Harmon, who is very sick, running a high fever, a very sore throat, and having chills all over. Also remember Dakota, who is still sick, so they're asking that we remember those requests tonight. Brother Gene Terrell says to please pray for Sister Jane Terrell, has a severe cough, is on medication and under doctor's care, so we certainly want to continue to pray for her tonight. The Lord would be mindful. Sister Linda Phillips offers this testimony. I wore a heart monitor for a month. The test came back good. Praise God. I do not have to go on blood thinner. So they're praising the Lord for that tonight. Amen. Thank the Lord for that. Brother Baker has been discharged from the hospital today. He is doing better, but will be on antibiotics at home for 2 weeks. So they're asking that we would continue to remember him. Brother Gene Lehman says to please pray for my brother Doug in Alabama. He has had a stroke, isn't doing well. So we certainly want to pray for that need tonight. Want to pray for Brother Larry Elliott, who has an upset stomach. So let's just pray the Lord would be mindful of him. Brother Brandon Green says to remember his uncle Steve in Virginia. The doctors say he has stage 4 cancer. Please remember him in your prayer. So we just commit those needs unto the Lord. Certainly want to continue to pray for the Yance families. The Lord will just be mindful of them. Keep them in our hearts and our thoughts and our prayers. And we just press on in the name of the Lord, don't we? We just press on. It's going to be a great, great reunion take place here not long down the road. And I'm looking forward to seeing all of those that have left us. If they could talk to us tonight, they'd say, you know what? You're not running fast enough. Hurry up and get here. It's a beautiful place. Just hurry up and come on home. Well, we're looking to go to that place, aren't we? Somebody say praise the Lord. You have an unspoken prayer request tonight, something you'd like for this group to pray about. We just commit all these things unto the Lord. Could you stand with me tonight? Brother West, would you come and let's just pray over these requests. Let's invite the presence of the Lord into the service and commit all these needs unto our Lord. Love you, Betty. Appreciate you.
Let's bow our heads. Lord, we want to thank you first off, Lord, for another opportunity to come and worship you. Lord, you're so precious to us and your word is so precious and we just look so forward to it, Lord, in the middle of the week, this time where we can come together and hear your word and get the bread of life and the water of the word, Lord. And Lord, we know that we can lay these at your feet, these requests, Lord. We know you're mindful of each and every one of them, every sickness, every surgery, every pain, every bit of suffering, Lord, that's mentioned here. And we can even lay these testimonies, Lord, at your feet in praise. All of these things, Lord, we lay before you tonight. Lord, we just trust everything in your hands tonight. We trust you to take our brother and set him aside and feed us, Lord. We trust you, Lord, in all these things. Lord, we thank you for everything that you've done for us, Father. We thank you that you are a refuge, just like the song says. No matter what's going on, no matter where we're at in life, no matter what we're facing, we can turn to you and you're our refuge. Lord, we love you so much. We appreciate you so much. Father, I'm overwhelmed. I just want to let you know, Father, and I'm sure everybody here agrees with me. This is our time. This is our time to stand and worship you and to praise you and give you everything that you deserve. And we adore you so much. And we just want to express that, Lord. And we want your presence to just have freedom here tonight. And we want you to be welcome, Lord. We don't want to leave you in the corner with dirty feet. We want you right here among us in total freedom, Lord, to just manifest yourself however you will and to reveal yourself however you have in mind, Lord. We want no walls between us. We thank you, Lord, for everything you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Wes, praise the Lord. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here with us tonight in the service, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that are streaming the service, we pray would be a great blessing to those folks as well. Just so good to be in the house of God. Amen. Let's sing this little song tonight. Never been this homesick before. How about you? It's just about going home time. And I believe in the hearts and the lives of real believers, we just can't hardly wait to get there. This world has nothing to offer. A lot of trouble, a lot of grief, a lot of heartache. But we're going to a land. None of that exists. Aren't you glad about it tonight? Sing it, buddy.
There's a light in the window. The table spread.
Play the song.
Someone standing by an open door. I can see a crystal river. Oh, I must be near forever. And I've never been this homesick before.
Just about home.
just about home time. I can see my father standing at the door. This world has been a wilderness. I'm ready for deliverance. Oh Lord, I've never been this homesick before.
Sing the chorus.
Well, see the bright light shine. It's just about Jesus, give me Jesus. Let's sing this little song just before we change the order of the service tonight. Brother Fred Perry is going to come and give us a song here just in a few minutes. Brother Harry has a song after that, so we'll go right on into the service. I know you're looking forward to the preaching of the word of the Lord. But in the morning when I rise, I've got to have the Lord, don't you? Every day of my life I need Him. How about you? In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. Oh, give me Jesus. Just give me Jesus. You can have all this world.
The Lord. Thank you for singing so good tonight. God bless you. You can be seated. Brother Fred Perry, if you'd come onto the platform, give us a song at this time. Give our brother a nice hand as he comes to sing for you tonight.
Psalmist you have, but I've got a big heart. So as I sing this song, you know some of it, you just sing right along with me. Welcome, Holy Spirit, be here with your presence. Fill me with your power and live inside of me. For you're the only reason that I'm saved today. And you're the only reason I don't go astray. So welcome, Holy Spirit. Be here with your presence. Fill me with your power and live inside of me. And you're the only reason I hear your word today. And you're the only reason my heart sings this way. So welcome, Holy Spirit. Be here with your presence. Fill me with your power and live inside of me. For you're that living water, a never dying fountain, my comforter and counselor, take complete control. Welcome, Holy Spirit, and be here with your presence. Fill me with your power and live inside of me. For you're the only reason that I'm free from sin. And you're the only reason that I'll rise in the end. So welcome, Holy Spirit. Be here with your presence. Oh, fill me with your power and live inside of me.
sung this song here a while back, and Brother Jerry asked me to sing it again. Y'all help me with Brother Eric. Can you look up Prisoner of Love? Are you a prisoner?
When I came to Jesus, I settled it all. I gave Him my life to control. Neither fear nor persuasion could draw me to Christ, but His love has captured my soul. I'm a prisoner of love. I'm a slave to the Master. I willingly toil through the heat and the cold. I seek no reward in this world. Payday will come, oh, it will come when the pearly gates unfold. He holds me secure with His love strong and true. I'm happy His servant to be. In bondage to Jesus, forever I'll stay. My soul doesn't want to be free. I'm a prisoner of love, a slave to the Master. I willingly toil gates unfold. I'm a prisoner of love. I'm a slave to the Master. I willingly toil.
Praise God. Aren't you glad you're a prisoner tonight? I've been listening to Christ the Mystery of God Revealed over and over and over again. It's after Brother Branham has preached the message of Paul, a prisoner. And there he talks about Jesus gaining the preeminence in a body. And he says how that God desires to have prisoners, that He can be able to have the preeminence over them. That we lose our ambitions, lose our desires of what we want to be, to become a prisoner of what the Lord wants us to be. That's people going in the rapture. That's right. Everybody's a prisoner to somebody or something. If I'm going to be a prisoner, why not choose the one who owns me? Amen. Let's turn tonight to Deuteronomy chapter 31, if you would, verse 21. Certainly want to continue to pray for Leon's family, Sister Gerald, Sister Donna, Brother Dale, Brother Randy, all that situation there, that God will just be with them and strengthen them and help them. I also want to thank you for praying for me. I was under a tremendous load trying to prepare for that funeral, and the Lord, by His grace, helped me, and I thank you. I really appreciate you praying for me. I've got texts and emails and all from people all over the world who said that they were praying for us. It means so much, don't it?
Amen.
How do people face such things by themselves without a family? Aren't you glad you're part of a family?
Amen.
I realize there's an element of people in this message. They're the only ones going. Them and their church and their little four or five or whatever. I don't have that mentality. I just don't think about heaven being all them miles and miles and miles of city and golden streets and this number of people right here being in it. It makes no sense. It makes no sense just for those who follow the teaching of this church or this church over here, and that's the only ones going. Oh, come on, broaden your perspective. God's a mighty God. He's got a great big place. It's for all different kinds of His people. Amen. Let's read together Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 21. And it shall come to pass when many evils and troubles are befallen them, that this song shall testify against them as a witness. For it shall not be forgotten out of the mouths of their children, or their seed. For I know their imagination. Now notice, there's something about this song that will not leave the mouths of their seed or their children. It will be generations, generations on down, that Moses is now prophetically speaking. For I know their imagination, which they go about, even now, before I have brought them into the land, which I swear. Moses therefore wrote this song the same day, and taught it to the children of Israel. And gave Joshua, the son of Nun, a charge, and said, Be strong and of a good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto them, and I will be with thee.
Glory.
Now this song is a song of condemnation, but it's also a song of the mystery of redemption. It's a song of the magnanimous attitude and attributes of God. And it's a song of the frailty and weakness of man. It's a song of the littleness of man. It's a song of the greatness of God. It's a song of victory. Yet it's a song of defeat. You see, each person has to find where they fit in the song. Same way today. Songs are being sung. We got to find which one's ours. This is one of mine. There's going to be a meeting in the air. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful tonight for your grace and your mercy to us, Lord. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for in the time of great need and trouble that your presence is always near us to help us. When we're sick, when we're afflicted, when we're going through trials and things in our life, we're so grateful, Lord, that you're here with us to help us. You don't always stop the trials and the tests, as Brother Homer preached it to us our Saturday night. But it's after. That's when you make yourself known. And we're so grateful. Lord, I pray as we look into your word tonight that you'd speak to us. Heavenly Fathers, I have in my hand these two prayer cloths. Lord, one for Sister Sharon Ward, one for her mother, Sister Daisy. You see their needs, Lord. You see, dear God, both of them need a move supernaturally by the hand of God. Lord Jesus, I just pray for our sisters that you would help them, Lord. Dear God, as I read a testimony before I came out, father of a brother that had a real, real serious need in his life, hundreds and hundreds of miles away from here. Yet, Lord, he believed and requested a prayer cloth. His faith was so strong, while the prayer cloth was still in the mail coming back to him, he told his wife, we're going to start testifying. Hallelujah. By the time he got the prayer cloth and went back for his test, the doctor come back and told him there ain't one sign of it. It's already gone and disappeared. Oh, hallelujah. That's what faith can do, Lord. As I heard your prophet saying today when he was there in South Africa and prayed for a little child that was club-footed. Its feet was turned in so bad that the little old child couldn't even walk. And yet, he said he was walking down the street in South Africa and he looked in a shoe store. And there was the father of that little boy. And he said he walked in there and that father was buying a pair of shoes for that little boy. And the little boy couldn't use them yet, but he had faith that he would. And the prophet said before the meeting was over, that little boy had them shoes on. His works was testifying of his faith. Father God, I pray that you'd move for our sisters and the other needs that's among us tonight, Lord. Grant it, dear God, in Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. You're aware of it, of course, if you've heard the message, faith as works expressed. Brother Ram talks about faith and works, how that they are husband and wife, how that they go together. Our works is what people see. Our faith is what God sees. Abraham went ahead and acted as if though he had the son, yet 25 years before God ever brought that promise to pass. Now, as we look into this time in history tonight, it's a great parallel, we understand, of every age. When God sends a truth, God vindicates that message for the day, then God will also, in that message, will forewarn that there will come a time when the people who are following that message will leave it. It's sad, but God knows how the hearts of human beings are. It's never been to where that any group of people in any move ever followed that move all the way down to the end without an element of lukewarmness and coldness and indifference and man's opinion and man's idea trying to come in. This is why that God wanted every generation to have their own chance after Calvary to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. God don't want the young people of Happy Valley reminiscing of a revival that happened in the 80s when I first came here. Or a revival that happened in the 90s. Or a revival that happened in 2000 or 2001. But God wants every generation to have their chance at a revival. God doesn't want the ministers around this message to reminisce of what it was like in the days when Brother Tim Pruitt was in his 20s and when I was in my 30s and Brother Darrell was in his 30s. But God wants every generation of ministry that will take this message to have their own baptism of the Holy Ghost, where they are allowed by the presence of God to go in to where that original baptism of the manna from the presence of God is there, and they put their hand in the pot and they become partakers of that original divine nature. You see, it's not enough just to have the same doctrines. It's not enough just to say the same things that the prophet said. Saying it is not enough. If you don't have the same desire, the same goal, the same motive, the same objective, in time you'll leave the original agenda of what God set forth for the message. Our message stands in that same danger, and it's already been around us. And as time goes on, the opportunity of the devil to move in such a way always gets worse. And this is why it's so important that Paul even identified with Timothy, for he said he was of the same mind. There's none so like-minded. And the word like-minded means of the very same soul. So Timothy had the same soul. Now can you imagine? There was Titus, there was Philemon, there was all the rest of these men. And yet Paul could not say about them what he said about Timothy.
Now, they were saying, no doubt, some of the same words that Paul said, but they didn't have the same soul that Paul had. Now, you understand that God is now speaking this through Moses, and he's going to inspire Moses to write a song about the sedition and perdition that will come in among the children of Israel. Now, he's going to teach it to them in the form of a song instead of a form of an epistle. For whatever reason, this is God's own choice. Now, in this song, it's a very complex song. In it, I said, holds the mystery of redemption. And it holds the mystery of the dividing of the inheritance of the land plumb back in the days of Noah. In it is the mystery of possession. In it is the mystery of the timeline, the dateline, and the prophetic line of Israel growing up and becoming a mature nation. There is so much in this one song that is written in here. Now you can imagine it has a mixture of both positive and negative prophecies. In here is a prophecies that will come forth for the elect, that will stay true, that will stay faithful, but there will also be those that will leave the original promise, they will leave the original vision, and there will be those that must divide and find who they are, and they will cling to the positive prophetic side, and the others will find their spot just as sure as the positive do. And you realize that's where we are today. Prophecy has gone forth. There will be a people fall away. But that ain't talking about me. Somebody's going to miss the rapture, but that ain't me. Somebody's going in the tribulation period, but that ain't me. Somebody's going to be one with God, that's me. Somebody's going to be so one with the Lord that the very nature of God will be born in them, and they will actually be His flesh in this age. I don't want to just be His preacher. I want to be His flesh. I want to be the very embodiment of the message of the hour. I don't want to just quote it. I don't want to just say what Brother Ram said. I want to be what Brother Ram said. I don't want to just talk about what Brother Ram said and be able to dot, dot, dot and hesitate and pause when he said it. All that has value. But what I want to be is this word made manifest in my mortal body. Anybody want to be that with me? Now notice that God gives this to Moses in this prophetic form, in the form of a song. But now he must also encourage Joshua. It must be released to Joshua in the mystery of this song that is in the future. Now if not, Joshua becomes so discouraged because God doesn't actually put the timeline in there of when it's going to happen. God doesn't tell Joshua, now Joshua, don't get all disturbed and upset. This ain't going to happen 5 years from now. 10 years from now. Don't worry, Joshua. This will be 100 years. This will be 500 years. He doesn't tell him. He doesn't tell the children of Israel. Now look, in B.C. so-and-so and so-and-so, this will happen and that will happen. God just throwed it out there and said it's going to happen during this time frame. Now part of it would happen before Joshua would ever leave. Part of it would happen in the book of the Judges. Part of it would happen in the book of Kings. Part in the book of Chronicles. Part of it in the book of 1 Samuel. Part in the book of 2 Samuel. Part in the book of Ruth, part of it in the book of Esther, part in the book of Nehemiah, part in the book of Jeremiah. He's going to prophetically, God's laying it all out. So he doesn't tell them exactly when it is. But the believers must look into the Word and find their place of who they are. And if the unbeliever is going to fulfill the negative prophecy, I guarantee you the believer is going to fulfill the positive prophecy. Now watch in verse 23. And he gave Joshua the son of Nun a charge and said, be strong and of good courage. Now think, God has just told him now, these people are going to leave. They're going to go into rebellion. They're going to go into apostasy. They're going to go totally away from what I've called them to be. And he's going to emphasize this more and more as the song is unveiled. But he wants Joshua to be encouraged, for the present hour is their hour of revival. Now you and I can sit around and wait, well, it's getting worse and it's getting worse, and oh God, it's getting so dark and it's getting so dark, and you won't have an ounce of joy. You won't have 1 ounce of joy. Lord, it's getting worse every day. You know, I find it so amazing that the Lord will speak things ahead of time before they happen. We've just seen it happen right here among us. The Lord anointed us, do you believe, to speak about Job and what this is going on and that's going on and why this and why that. You think God did that? You think as your pastor, I've got enough sense to foresee things and to be able to tell you, saying, well, of course not. I can't, no other man can. But it was the Lord. But if you're not careful, Satan will cause fear to come on you and you'll become so afraid. You'll say, oh my goodness, something awful is fixing to happen. Lord, have mercy. We can't keep from thinking that. But listen, the very same God that is mindful of us to let us know is the very same God that can keep us to it when it comes to pass. He doesn't always promise that he'll keep bad things from us, but he promises, I'll be with you when them bad times come. So instead of just listening and benefiting from the things that God is doing, we can get into such a fear. Oh Lord, have mercy. Something awful's fixing to happen. Have you noticed how Brother Donnie's preaching? Oh Lord, we're going to be, oh Lord, somebody's going to throw Brother Donnie in jail. Oh my, they're going to arrest him. Well, if they do, so what? If that's the will of God, come and get me. If that's what God wants for me, then so be it. God can still shake down jailhouses. God's still God. But why should I lay up and worry and fret? Oh no, oh no. Something terrible is fixing to happen. Well, if it does, he'll give me strength through it. If it does, he'll give you strength through it. Why should I sit around and worry? Why shouldn't I just think on this? My God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory. And if it takes trouble, then my troubles might manifest the Son of God. My troubles might bring him on the scene in a greater way than ever before. Or we can sit around chewing our fingernails to the quick. Oh God, something's fixing it. I know it. Oh God, chew them off if you want. But when you ain't get done, or you've got stubs and you still ain't changed nothing, whatever's going to happen is going to happen anyhow, except now you ain't got no fingers to enjoy it when it comes. You beat your fingers off. Glory. Now you imagine this was a quite a difficult thing for Joshua, because God has already told him some pretty bad things is fixing to happen. Look in verse 24. And it came to pass when Moses made an end of writing the words of this law in a book until they were finished, that Moses commanded the Levites, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, saying, take this book of the law and put it in the side of the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God. The Torah was never placed inside the ark. The Ten Commandments were, not the law. Uh-oh, some of y'all made big eyes. Isn't this amazing that the law given from God to Moses, but it was put in a pocket on the side of the ark. It was not to replace the Ten Commandments. It was to go along with it. Now you see, when people want to take their seal book, their church age book, or their whatever book of the message, and replace God's word, you've done wrong. The message never comes to replace our Bible. You've heard me tell it to you before. Brother Charlie Cox told me this himself, and I know he told Brother Gene, probably others, that one time Brother Branham was at his house, and Brother Charlie, sister, and another one had taken a message book and laid it over on top of the Bible. And Brother Branham was there in the living room, and Brother Branham went over and saw him do it. And Brother Branham took that message book and laid the Bible over on top of the message book like that, and told him, said, don't ever put anything in head of the Word of God. Now you imagine that you was the prophet of God himself. Now if Brother Branham viewed his message the way that a lot of message people did, then he would have said, you done the right thing, putting my message books over the top of the Bible. But you know what? That was not the way Brother Branham viewed the message. Oh my, now some of you have done lost and you're already mad. It's the same way now with the writing of the commandments of Moses, that Moses does not open up the Ark of the Covenant and lay the law right in on top of the Ten Commandments. Now, if there was not a difference, if they were one and the same, they should be put in the same location and honored and revered in the same way. Boy, some of y'all is getting more nervous the farther I go. Now you realize in the Word of God, Brother Bram tells us he believes that the Bible was infallible without mistake. You'll not find Brother Bram saying that about his books. Well, glory. You see, this is where a lot of these folks who have left the message and they think they've really found a lot of things. My Lord, they way behind. The Lord done had us to deal with a lot of these things years and years ago. We're already up ahead on that because we know this message was brought to us by a man who grew in understanding, who progressed in his revelation, who could misquote scripture, who could say this certain date and it wasn't this certain date, could call this certain king's name and it wasn't that certain king. Well, Brother Donnie, don't that shake you? By no means at all. Because I don't need a perfect prophet. I don't need a perfect pastor. I don't need a perfect evangelist. I've got a perfect God. I've got a perfect God. So what do? Then we take this message and we put it in the pocket of the ark and we carry them both together in our hearts. Now I realize a lot of these folks who have left the message, they say, well, I've just got my Bible. Well, I've always had mine. When I come to this message, I never got rid of my Bible. Praise the Lord. In Pentecost, one of the things I was known by was how much scripture I could quote. Because I could quote chapters successively. And dumber than a doornail. A housewife in this message had more understanding than I did. Yet I could smoke her when it come to quoting the scripture. So quoting the scripture ain't enough, is it? So why would I want to go back to just my Bible without prophetic eyes to understand what my Bible says? Why would I want to go back and wonder, oh my, is it one God or two God or three God? No, sir. If you want to go back to that, go on back. But for me and my house, I'm going on to a body change. Amen. Why would I want to go back to the what of the vomit that I came out of if it made me sick the first time? Would it make me sick again? Oh my. Take this book of the law and put it in the side of the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God. Now, indeed, the Jews, even to this day, let me read you this bit of history, show exceeding great respect to the law. No man may touch it but with his right hand and without a kiss of reverence. He cannot carry it behind him, but he must lay it next to his heart whenever he walks or travels. And if it was to fall to the ground, they institute a fast of consecration because it has been desecrated. Now, this is the way, of course, that they look at. Now, he says that this law is going to be as a witness, and it's going to be put in the pocket. It's going to be carried around. And who's supposed to carry it? Over the hearts of the Levites, the preachers. So the Levites, the preachers, are carrying the ark, and it has the message from the prophet of God, and it has the Ten Commandments from God himself. And it is the Levites that are packing it over their hearts. Praise the Lord. That's why the burden of the word of the Lord can't fall on a tape player. A tape player can't have a burden. Oh my, you're getting quiet on me. The burden of the word of the Lord has got to come over a Levite's heart. The weight has got to be on a Levite's shoulder. Oh my. Notice in verse 27. I know thy rebellion and thy stiff neck. Behold, while I'm yet alive with you this day. Now this is Moses speaking to him. You have been rebellious against the Lord. And how much more after my death? Now this is just a few days before he's fixing to cross over. What a way to close out your life. These are your last sermons. And you're frying these people. I mean, you're burning them up. You're telling them they're rebellious, that they're stubborn, they're hard-headed. And these is the closing out of your ministry. I don't feel so bad. I know your rebellion and your stiff neck. I've already seen what you've done. Oh, my. Well, I am yet alive with you this day. You've been rebellious. You've rebelled against the Lord. Your father's done it. Now they're dead and y'all start doing the same thing. Poor old Joshua. No wonder the Lord had to encourage him over and over and over again. Be thou very courageous. Be thou very courageous. Be thou very strong. I'll tell you one thing. If he didn't need that, God wasn't just bumping his gums. Oh my. Notice now, friend, how Moses looks at this. This is a great phenomenon to me. And you have been rebellious against the Lord. How much more after my death? The presence of good men may restrain but not annihilate evil. The presence of a strong personality can be able to hold back sin. The presence of a strong, gifted man can hold back evil. But he can't annihilate it. Notice in verse 28, gather unto me all the elders of your tribes and your officers, and I may speak these words in their ears and call heaven and earth to record against them. Wow. Watch what God now is fixing to say. For I know that after my death, you will utterly corrupt yourselves. Well, this is a lot of confidence he's got in him, ain't it? How does he know this? God has let him know it. Does he want to say this? This would not be something that a man, you'd think this is his last sermons that he wants to preach. He'd rather stand up and preach something real, beneficial, and mild, loving, and gentle. But instead, God makes this prophecy and says, look, I know what y'all going to do. Y'all are going to leave this word. Oh my. You'll turn aside from the way which I have commanded you. You're going to do it. I mean, it's not possibly, maybe, I mean, there might be a slight chance. You all are going to do it. Amen. And evil will befall you in the latter days. Not only the time of the judges now, to the times of the kings and the times of the Babylonian captivity, the Assyrian captivity, but on up to the latter days. Moses is being allowed by God to see plumb to the end of their dispensation. You're going to leave the word. And here's Joshua standing here hearing all this negativity. This is really encouraging, isn't it? This is really encouraging you now to step in and assume this great role. Would you want to become the next pastor of the church? The old pastor comes out and he says, you bunch of devils! Y'all are hard-headed, stubborn, rebellious! I introduce to you your new pastor. Come on out, young man, and take them to glory. Joshua had to find his name in the book and know there were some other people in that book too, that he was not laboring in vain. People will come, people will go, people will fall away. But let me tell you something, brothers. We are not laboring in vain. We are not studying in vain. We are not praying in vain. God has got an elect that's going to find their place. Oh my, because you will do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger through the work of your hands. And Moses spake in the ears of all the congregation of Israel the words of this song until they were ended. Now the first three verses of this song are regarded as the introduction to it. Listen at it. We'll begin in chapter 32, verse 1. This is the song. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak. And hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. Amen. My speech shall distill as the dew. As the small rain upon the tender herb. As the showers upon the grass. Did you notice the difference now? Notice how this moves into a total different style of vernacular. It ends in chapter 31 with very gloomy and very even the way the rhythm of the words are being said. But now as it moves into 32, now it moves over from a preaching prophetic anointing unto a song. And watch how the words are laid out. The stanzas are broken. Oh my. Because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. Now notice this is the song. So first, second, and third verses are the introduction to this song. What is it? It's going to contrast the faithfulness of God with the faithlessness of Israel. Now in this song is both positive and negative. And you gotta find where you fit. You gotta find, are you on the faithful side or the faithless side? Oh my. Now watch in verse 4. He is the rock. Glory. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment. A God of truth. Oh my. And without iniquity, just and right is he. Amen. Notice Moses mentions this five times. Five times that he is the rock. Now you realize, friend, that looking at this song, now Joshua is hearing the song, some of the elect overcomers are hearing the song, and they're having to sit through it and say, okay, praise God, I've got to find my place here, I've got to receive encouragement out of this, or they can sit there, what's in it even going into the land, if ultimately we're going to be defeated anyhow. But that ultimate defeat is not talking about that first generation elect. It's talking about some of their grandchildren or some of their great-grandchildren. And we can sit around the same way. Well, Lord have mercy. There ain't hardly nobody going to be saved. My, why should I even try? If your name is on that Lamb's Book of Life and God said there wasn't even going to be but one person out of Johnson City saved, you'd say, move over, Brother Donnie. You better move down to Knoxville because I'm leaving this place. I'm one of them because it's been revealed to you and there ain't enough devils in hell to talk you out of it, not even yourself. But you've got to find who you are. Hallelujah. He is immutable. He is strong. He is impregnable. He is the rock. Oh my. Now watch. He leaves verse 4 and goes to verse 5 and contrasts the faithfulness of God with the faithlessness of Israel. They have corrupted themselves. So you go from the strongness of God, then the immutability of his counsel. In the very next verse in the song, you go to they have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. This is an allusion to the marks worn in the foreheads of idolaters. Now, depending on which gods you worshiped, some gods you couldn't pack around an image with you all the time because they had a pretty good tall image. So they had an abbreviation of each god. Some of them was a square. That square represented a certain god. So if you saw somebody with a square spot in their forehead, you knew which god they worshiped. Other gods was identified by a circle or a small dot. Other gods were identified by a pyramid. Other gods were identified by a mark or a cross or an X. So when you saw that person bearing the mark of the beast, I mean the mark of the image of their God in their forehead, you knew who they worshiped. Oh, glory to God, glory to God. Is it any marvel that the overcomers in the last day will bear his image or his name in their foreheads? So they're bearing the mark of idolatry, and your Moses is writing it in the song and seeing the children of Israel look like Hindus. Though Joshua could stand there and say, that ain't me. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I'm going to sing this song and I'm going to teach it to my children, but I'm going to teach them. This don't have to be you. Now, this is a command of God. This is a command of God. Teach your children this song. Friends, we make great mistakes by not teaching our children the shortcomings of great people who's lived before us. Don't bleach out the humanity and hide all the mistakes. Let us learn by the mistakes of great men and women who lived before us. Teach them that Moses lost his temper. Teach them that Abraham lied. Teach them that Brother Branham lied. Don't make an idol out of him. Don't make a god out of him. Teach them that Joshua missed the leading of the Spirit of God, and the men of Gibeah absolutely deceived Joshua. Praise the Lord. Well, you imagine how some of you say, I ain't teaching my kids that song. I'm bright. According to the command of God, you're to teach your children. Why? What kind of attitude are you to teach them in? Teach them, children. This is a song, and somebody's going to fulfill it, but it don't have to be you. Oh, my. Their spot is not the spot of his children. Now, I want you to notice his children do have a spot. They have a seal too. They're worshiping the living God though. And they're packing his image in them. They prostrate themselves before his presence, and he empties himself into them, and they become his living image. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. They are a perverse and crooked generation. Perverse and crooked generation. In contrast with God's faithfulness and God's greatness and God's trueness, he's now contrasting the shortcomings, the failures, the crookedness, and the perverseness of this generation. Was it that generation that was there? Not all that generation. But there was some in that generation that were this. And there was going to be some in the next generation. You understand? In the first generation when Brother Branham was here, there was people like this when he was here. When Brother Branham went off the scene, there was people like that here. And there's people like that here now. And if another generation goes on, there'll still be people here. But it ain't me. What about it, young people? That ain't me. I'm a believer. You preach on drinking all you want to. I'm not going to hang my head in shame. I don't get drunk. Well, I shouldn't say it that way. I do, but I just don't get drunk on whiskey and that sort of stuff. You preach about smoking? Don't expect me to hide my head in shame. You preach about a man committing adultery on his wife? Don't expect me to get all nervous and jittery. I don't do that. So you preach about tribulation, don't expect me to go bawling and squalling and crying, because that ain't who I am. You preach about hell, don't expect me to say, oh God, that's me. I come from hell and I ain't going back to hell. My identity ain't hell. My identity is the kingdom of God. Do I got to sing about backsliders? I do. Do I have to sing about sinners? Do I have to sing about some people steal, they cheat and lie? But that ain't me. Praise the Lord. I found where I fit. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad you found where you fit? Wow, listen to this. You mean all this is coming from a God who is love? Now wait a minute, I thought if God was love, that God loved them so much that no matter what they done, he would just, you know, love them anyway and let them go ahead and do whatever they wanted to do. And because they was kind of his picks, that he wouldn't do anything. Now, where'd you hear that lie? I said, where'd you hear that lie? That ain't who God is. Now watch this in verse 6. Do you thus requite the Lord? And the verb means to repay or to pay back. So is this the way you are paying back the Lord? Oh, foolish people. Oh, my goodness. Which means stupid, dull, and witless. Oh, foolish people and unwise virgins. Unwise. When I read Matthew chapter 25, the kingdom of heaven shall be likened unto 10 virgins. 5 wise and 5 are foolish. The 5 which are wise took oil in their vessels, but the unwise didn't take any vessels or oil in their vessels. About midnight, there went out a cry, go ye therefore to meet the bridegroom. Then all of those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil. And the foolish turned around, oh, please, please, we want to come to the message. Please, we need the Holy Ghost. And the wise said unto the foolish, we don't have enough to go around. But go to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they were gone to get it, then the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him, and the door was shut. Praise the Lord. Now, you know what? When I read that, I do not classify myself as that one without oil. But I want you to notice something. Hang tight now. It was not having oil or not having oil that gave them their special status. Jesus categorized them before he ever mentions whether they have oil or don't. The kingdom of heaven shall be likened unto 10 virgins. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. And then he said the foolish did not take any oil, but the wise did. But who they were, glory to God, who they were was already established before the lack of the presence of oil is ever mentioned. Praise be to God. You gotta find your place, friends. You gotta find where you fit in the Word. Oh my, is this the way you repay the Lord, he said. Oh foolish people and unwise, is not he thy father that hath bought thee? Has he not made thee and established thee? Is this just the way you pay God back for what he done? Oh my, your father, who bought, and the Hebrew word there is created. And it means to bring into being and to give you life. He's the one who gave you life. He established you. Amen. This is the way you pay him back. Look at verse 7. Remember the days of old. Now watch. Now we move from this stanza and we go into the song, into a time that will go back when time was hundreds and hundreds of years before this setting in Deuteronomy 32. He is now going to revert them back beyond Abraham, beyond Isaac, beyond Jacob, and he's going to bring in a historical perspective and remind them from history of the blessing of God toward them before they ever even started to exist. Remember the days of old. Now what's the divine providence of God that will show up in Genesis chapter 10? As God began to divide the nations on the earth. But God divided the nations on the earth, and he would place them positionally with Israel in the future in mind. Hundreds of years down the road. Now you may not know this, but listen. Moses affirms that God took special interest in the children of Israel before there was ever any children of Israel. And he pre-prepared some ground for them. You see, God was in control by divine providence of the government of the nations even after the fall and where they would go. Now watch, I said, remember the days of old, consider the years of many generations Ask thy father, he will show thee, thy elders, and they will tell thee. Now what's God going to do? God wants to relate to the people that he's speaking to and the generations that will come. He's going to remind them of the providential care that Almighty God had extended toward them. This is what's going to be a witness against them. God loved them and he cared for them before they were ever even a people. When they began out of one man, not Abraham. Not Abraham, but before Abraham. Ask thy father, thy elders, and they will tell thee. Now notice how he brings it in verse 8. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam. Now remember, God made the Garden of Eden and he placed out of there two great rivers, or four great rivers rather, which come out and made two heads, Tigris, Euphrates, and out of the land of Hadava, which was great gold. And God, this is the headquarters, of course, of the earth. Outside of that, then God divided the land, and when Adam comes out, and then it begins to become populated, then the nations are divided. And they go into different places. Now, of course, once the flood comes, and then the sons of Noah come out of the ark, and then God again divides them by their nations, by nationalities. And God sends them to a certain place. And they're to stay there. They're to live. Now, some will remain there for a long time. Some will only go be caretakers of a certain place until the seed arrives. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance. Now, in the times of Noah, and the times of Noah's sons, after the rainbow covenant was given in the Noahic covenant, then Noah comes out of the ark, and now they're going to start populating the earth again. Now, the earth does not belong to man in the sense of man saying, well, I'm going to go here, and I'm going to go there, and I want this, and I'm going to fight for that. Even after the Noahic covenant, God sent them out and give them their allotment or their inheritance. They could not just go wherever they wanted. They could not marry whoever they wanted. They could not live in whatever part of the earth they wanted. But God, by divine providence, sent them out after the flood to this place, to that place. You go there, you go there. This nation, this nation, that nation, this nation. You go where I tell you to go. But it was under Noah's sons. Notice. He set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. Lord have mercy. So when Noah and his sons come out of the ark, and God goes to redividing the land again, and he sets the boundaries according to how big a parcel the land of the children of Israel needs to be. And there ain't even no children of Israel.
Think about it.
It was their inheritance before they ever was. Glory! Notice, and God made the boundaries. Lord Jesus. When he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. Now, watch this in Genesis chapter 10, verse 25. And unto Eber were born two sons, and the name of one was Peleg, which means division. For in his days was the earth divided. And his brother's name, Joktan. So under the Noahic covenant, God divides the people. Satan brought them together pre-antediluvian destruction under a false union. But God sent them out and separated them. Right? God done the same thing, of course, after the flood. He sent them out. Of course, Satan wanted to bring them together again under a false union. Exactly what he wants to do right now. Joining yourself with an unbeliever produces a false union. Destroy your fellowship with God. So then under Peleg, which is division, out of this seed line, here comes Abram. Then God divides the land. So they're not just saying, oh, where you want to go? I'll just stand up there and throw me a rock. Wherever the rock goes, I'll move over. God said, no, you ain't doing that. This earth belongs to me. Now, Peleg, you can go over there, and Joktan, you can go over there, and Midian, and whatever more, you can go here and there and there. And God made all the boundaries or the borders according to a seed which was hundreds of years yet to be made manifest down in time. No wonder God could tell Moses down the children of Israel in the land of Egypt to go down there and tell them, I've come down to redeem them. Right. How are you going to redeem somebody that ain't never been back when redeem is buy back? But in seed form, when Abraham walked the shores, hallelujah, they were there by seed. They was being redeemed back. Now notice here, God has in his mind that the children of Israel is going to get this land. It's going to be hundreds of years before there's ever even one called Israel. The name Israel is not even going to be spoken for hundreds of years. But now Moses is showing them this is why their condemnation is so great. This is why they're scattered to the four winds to this day, because God loved them so much. Let me tell you something, friend. With the blessings of this message comes great responsibility as well. We can't just be blessed the way we are and it not be a great responsibility to answer for if we turn away from it. Listen at this. Moses said he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. You see, the work was done by the sons of Noah, but it was the divine providence of God that as they begin to, Shem, you go this way, and Ham, you go this way, and Japheth, you go this way. Now, why didn't God send Japheth, the Gentiles, to Israel? Why didn't God send Shem there initially? Why didn't God send Shem there initially and do away with this conflict? But instead, God let him. You see, if your Shem would have been born first, your Ham would have always been subject. But since old Ham was born first, your Shem struggles with him. That's right. If you're Jacob, your soul would have been born first. Amen. Your Esau could have been pretty much shut up. But since Esau was born first and Jacob was born last, it sets the struggle in the womb of time. Oh my, as the twins struggle within Rebecca's womb, so are you and your twins struggling in the womb of time. And your soul struggles against your flesh, and your flesh struggles against your soul even after you're born again. But remember, the portion of the inheritance was given to you before you was ever a mortal. The borders was already decreed. You are a son or daughter of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Before you was ever a creature of time, you was an attribute in the mind of God, and the border was declared. Hallelujah. Notice in Genesis 10:32, these are the families of the sons of Noah after their generations in their nations. And by these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood. So they can't go where they please. But God, through the administration of the Noahic covenant. You might have stood up in that day and said, I don't believe in prophets. I don't need no prophet to tell me how to live, but that prophet could have stood down and looked at you and said, if you want to live at all, you're going to be told where I tell you to live. Well, I don't like it. Don't remember asking you. I'm doing this by the direction of God. You imagine one man and his sons now dictating by God. Well, he's the only one that survived the pre-flood. If you want to argue with him, go ahead. I think the man must have had something right. Praise the Lord. Woo. When the Most High, Moses said, divided the nations their inheritance. When he separated the sons of Adam, one from another now, by their nations, God separated them. God never meant for Mishkel and Tubal and all of those to intermingle and cross. He sent them their direction. You Gentiles, you go this way. You go over through Asia and go over through Europe. Right? Come up through Gog and Magog and Tubal and all that direction. And he said, Ham, you go down toward where my elect are going to live. I want you to go in there and build them some nice homes. I want you to dig the wells, plant the gardens, make the soil fertile. It's going to be a long time before my elect come. I'm giving you a little heads up. Get down there and get busy. Now, why didn't he send Shem down there in the first place? It's working under the law of contrast. Glory to God. He set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. God so distributed the land and measuring it. And of course, God had a measuring stick. Or as we'd say, a measuring tape. And the measuring stick or tape that God used was Israel. That was his rod. The rod of his inheritance. So this is the way he measured everything. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm trying my best to be nice, but from this point on, I relinquish all my claims. Oh my, set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. Can you imagine now Moses is here by revelation unveiling the book of mystery of redemption to the children of Israel. They have never even heard this before. This is their first time of hearing. They didn't even recognize and know that God actually measured out and meted the nations according to their own needs. Amen. Praise God. I hope God will drop a little bit about our value to him tonight while we're looking at this. Seven great nations are going to go down in and clean out this land. And seven is going to make room for 12. Why? Because Jerusalem is the center of the earth. From there, the rabbis say, he scooped up out of the dust of the earth to make Adam. For there, Brother Branham said that he had read that Adam was buried on Golgotha. From there, the great pivotal point of the center of the earth, the mountain will erupt. From there, glory to God. Hallelujah. The great measurements, the geographical measurements and the pyramid that Enoch built runs right up through the time degree line, right up through Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All these hundreds of years, God prepared it. He didn't need Abraham to tell him how to do it. He didn't need the children of Israel. My, my, you imagine them sitting there here and they're thinking, you gotta be kidding. I never realized God done that. I never realized what were they doing. You imagine Joshua said, somebody hold my sword. I'm about to have a spell. I imagine poor old Caleb, the Gentile dog setter, said, glory to God, somebody hold on to my horses. I'll tell you what, I feel the Holy Ghost moving on me right now. I'll be back in a minute. You imagine that God, you imagine Caleb saying, you mean to tell me that God knew I would be a Gentile, but God allowed my name to be written over there on them hills and written over there in them mountains, that I have a portion with the tribe of Judah, and God made them Gentiles, them Canaanites, clear out all that property so I could come in and live like a king. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God used me as a measuring rod. Oh my goodness. Hope you don't misunderstand me, but I'm going to say it if you do. According to your needs as a child of God. God may have certain businesses to shut down, certain ones to start up, certain people to lose their jobs, somebody to hire you, somebody to do this and somebody to do that, and somebody to move out of a neighborhood because God wanted you to live in that neighborhood. You say he don't do such stuff. Don't you tell me he does do such stuff. I believe with all of my heart he'd like to do more for us if we'd be more surrendered instead of being so goat-headed and being so stubborn that we think we know what we need. Let's face it, we don't know what we need. We don't know where we need to live. We don't know the vocation. We don't even know how much money we should be able to make and handle it the right way. But I believe that we pray, Lord, you lead me. Give me enough, Lord, that I won't beg or poor. But Lord, don't give me so much that it'll make me full of pride and make me selfish. Notice Moses in verse 9, he said, for the Lord's portion.
That's it.
Yes, yes, people. Now this is in the song. You imagine old Joshua and Caleb saying, amen! Buddy, they got quiet where they said, y'all gonna backslide, you're crooked and you're perverse, and them sitting there looking at one another and said, that part of the sermon ain't for me. Because I ain't crooked and I ain't perverse. Come on, children. You've heard me say it before. We get up and sing songs about people being cold and people being backslid and people being indifferent. Them type of songs don't minister to me. Because I ain't backslid. People don't renew God. Bring this back. Bring that back. I tell you one thing for myself. I'm closer to him than I have ever been in my entire life. I've got to walk with God right now. I would not trade for anything in this world. If you're backslid and cold, then them songs are for you, but they're not for me. It's getting sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Hallelujah. I love him now more than I've ever loved him. People don't want this message no more. Fine. I love it now more than I've ever loved it. Oh, you imagine that deep. Amen. Amen! The Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. You realize some people only made the pages of the Bible. Their name is only even mentioned because they come in contact with God's elect. The only way they even made the pages of the book was because they come against the people of God. They would have never even been mentioned. But they crossed the lot of his inheritance. Oh my. Listen to this, children. The center of God's purpose was Israel. Yes, sir. Yeah. Listen to Isaiah 43:14. Thus saith the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake, I have sent to Babylon and have brought down all their nobles and the Chaldeans whose cry is in the ships. For your sake, I destroyed kings. I annihilated nations. Praise be to God. For your sake. Verse 15, I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. The design is the working out of a certain part of prophecy. And under the timeline, there will be certain negative spots that will be there. And the only way some of these people are even recorded in history is by their dealings with the elect. Listen to this. God said about Cyrus, thus saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and to the temple thy foundation shall be laid. This was a prophecy concerning Cyrus that was made 200 years before he was ever born. Glory to God. And God called his name. Josephus says that Cyrus read this prophecy of himself, which Isaiah delivered 210 years beforehand. Can you imagine when Cyrus, which is called his shepherd, you know the history of Cyrus, you know. He was at a very bad birth, raised by a man and a woman who were not his parents, raised under the symbol of a shepherd's hook. Hallelujah. And yet Josephus says he read. My God, I feel like speaking in tongues. Can you imagine when he turned over in the prophet's writings and read his name in the book? Lord have mercy. He read his name in the book, Brother Caleb, and said, Cyrus, my shepherd. Cyrus, my shepherd. He was not a Jew. He was a Gentile. He never served God like Abraham. He never served God like Isaac, like Jacob. But he turned over and found his name in the book. And the mystery of his life was revealed. The mystery of his life was co-worked around all the great things he was going to do. But a great portion of the mystery of his life was that he would say, Jerusalem will be rebuilt and the foundation will be laid in the temple. I don't care how much he tried to get away from it. He couldn't. I don't care who tried to kill him. I don't care what they done. His name is written in the book. What if that was so of a man who was not even elect? What about you, chosen seed of God? If a man like that could find his name in the book and say, God, help me to do it. What about us? Let's stand. So was it in Egypt, Assyria, Babylonia, Persia, on and on and on we could go. Germany, Italy, America. Hallelujah. I don't care what the Democrats do. I don't care what the Republicans do. My God's law is greater than them all. Politics can be as rotten and perverse as it can be, but my God has a plan. And his sovereignty will override anything that man does in his perverse ways of doing it. Praise be to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Cyrus could find his name written in the book of the prophecy. Oh my. And what did it involve? Building a house of God. Can you find your name in the message of the hour? That you are the house of God's dwelling place. Amen. Praise God. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He knew in the original forming of the earth, and when she came out of the cataclysmic state that she was in Genesis chapter 1, it was quite permissible for the Mediterranean, the Aegean, the Baltic, and the Black Seas to be where they were. But he also knows the expansion of the elect will be so large. And when the city comes down from the center of the earth, he'll have to increase the borders of the landmass. So there'll be no need of the Red Sea and the Dead Sea and the Baltic and the Aegean. Glory to God. Why? The portion of his elect will determine more land mass is needed. Oh, hallelujah. And John looked out there and said, I saw no mercy. Why? Your number demanded that the sea be got rid of. Lord Jesus, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The center of the earth being Jerusalem, the pivotal point up at the top of the pyramid, the landmass must expand this way 1,500 miles, so the boundaries of the seas must be moved. Abraham walked around, looking for it, and I heard Brother Bam say it yesterday. He said the whole time it was hanging right above him. But the landmass don't need to be that big right now. You know, the Israel and the Jews and the Egyptians, the Syrians, and they all fighting for that little part right now anyhow. Why? Why? Why is that age-old struggle fighting? You could understand it if it was a Garden of Eden, but a strip of desert. A strip of something that, why is it such a possession? For centuries, it's been deemed and termed a war trophy. Don't you understand? It's the same way between God and the devil. Whoever winds up with Jerusalem gets the queen. Hallelujah! This is why Satan will want his headquarters right there in the tribulation. It's at the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. It's a war trophy. But after a while, we're fixing to come on our big steeds and our stallions and whatever more. You better look out, devil. Because us and King Jesus is coming back to take over. For the Lord's portion and his inheritance is coming to the earth. And there'll be so many of us, it'll be necessary to change the structure of the landmass. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Don't you love him, children? We've got to find our place. We've got to find our place. Oh, Brother Donnie, I'm not where I need to be. Well, acknowledge that and get where you need to be. Oh, Brother Donnie, don't you want more? Sure, I want more. But there's nothing between my soul and my Savior. Wanting more does not mean, friends, wanting more, needing more, does not mean there's anything between you and God. It means you need a closer walk with God. You got confessed sin or unconfessed sin in your life, brother, get it out. So when you go before him, you can have confidence. So the full perimeter of your lot, your inheritance,
he can gain full control. Right here you are, little Naboth. This is your garden, Naboth. And Jezebel wants your garden. Ahab wants your garden. But it's your inheritance. Before it was given to him, it was given to Israel. This is my body. This is my house. This is my tabernacle. And while I'm in it, it's going to mind me. Come on. This is where I live. And this house is going to live respectable. It ain't got the Holy Ghost, but it's going to mind him who's got it. Praise the Lord. This is my house. This is my tabernacle. Praise the Lord. This is my garden. And no, you Jezebel system, you can't have my garden to plant a bunch of herbs next to your house. My gift ain't for sale. Praise the Lord. Your garden ain't for sale. Where did this happen? Under the days of the administration of the spirit of Elijah. When Jezebel come up trying to take over that which did not belong to her. Can't you see the parallel of Israel? Look at the anti-Semitism as it's growing all over the world as it was prior to Hitler's days. Look at it. You know, all kinds of places in New York, Jewish synagogues being burned, Jewish houses being burned. Oh, it don't make the big time news. Why? They're all against them too. It don't make the news like a bunch of other trash and nonsense does, but it's growing around the world. It's growing again in England. It's growing again in Germany. It's growing in Europe. It's growing in the United States. What is it? Getting ready for the tribulation, but as it's coming against them in the natural, so is the devil coming against you trying to take your land, and part of your land is the message of the hour. So they try to find fault with your message. Oh, this ain't this and this ain't that. Let them do what they want to do. This is our inheritance. This is our land. And God will judge the world by the lot of his inheritance.
Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Imagine Osiris. Thus saith Osiris, he is my shepherd and shall perform all of my pleasure. Even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and to the temple, thy foundation shall be laid. I like serving a God like that. That can call a man's name before he's ever even born. I like serving a God who can be able to move on his prophets and be able to foretell things before they ever happen. Kind of reminds me of what I've been hearing today and yesterday and the day before and the day before. Of another prophet of God who had a bunch of private interviews set up. People come and called in from all over the country into these private interviews. And as they would come in and sit down, and he'd tell them, now look, we're not here for fellowship. You got a question in your heart. So they'd start asking a question. He'd reach over and get their sheet. And he'd say, now look here. Here's your questions in the order that you're going to ask them. And here's your answers.
Now he goes on to say at the end of that, now he said there's a certain brother that didn't get all his questions answered. Billy Paul's here and got your answers in his pocket if you'll see him after church. Because the little 30 minutes that we had set aside, he said I wasn't able to get to all of them. But he said, think of the sovereignty of God that showed me all of those people and they were laid out in order. And the questions were in order. He said, but it took me about 3 days to get over that. The same God who could call Cyrus' name,
Because say, you got this question and that question and this question and that question. This is number one and number two and number three and number four. And here is your answers. Oh, friend, if he could do that, then I'll tell you one thing. This message we're following, it ain't a man-made mess. It's a message from God. It was not sent here to replace Jesus Christ. It was not sent here to replace this Bible. It was sent to enhance our understanding of the Bible.
Praise God. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, how great you are. Oh, my Father. Noah may not have even known, or his sons, or the second generation, or on down to Eber and Peleg. And out of Eber, of course, comes the lineage of Abram. It's amazing that you allowed Ham, Canaan, and all of them to go down to that land to break the breach. Hallelujah. And let them go there and settle it. Why not Shem? Oh, your plan. Lord, sometimes we don't understand it. But we know it makes perfect sense to you. Same in our life. We go through things and we face things and we think, wow, why did it have to be that way? Looks like it'd just been easier if the Shem would have been there and the Shemites. They wouldn't have had to take the Philistines and the Amorites and the Hittites and the Jebusites, all of them being descendants of Canaan, which was a descendant of Ham. If Shem's generations would have just went straight to the land, but you know what you're doing. Praise God. Lord, I pray you'd help us tonight, Father. There may be some Canaanite on our land. But Lord God, may we may not be discouraged. We see some Jebusite that's got our healing. Some Philistine, some Amorite that stole our peace. He may stand there and he may be a big giant. But may we look at him as Caleb. Hallelujah to God. And say, Moses, God's prophet, gave me this land. And you better run for your life. Praise God. For this is my inheritance. Glory to God. Lord Jesus, I pray you would help us. Father, there's many needs among us. Many needs among those that are streaming, no doubt. Lord God, we believe you're still mindful of us. Lord, may you come by this way. Would you, Lord Jesus? Help us, Father. Glory to God. Come by this way tonight, Lord. We are the lot of your inheritance. We are your portion. We are your wife, your sweetheart, your beloved. Glory to God. We are your chosen place where you have put your name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, mighty God. May we find that place that is written of us. As you went to Nazareth, as it was your custom. We know you went to church. Unlike many people today, you didn't stay away from church because you couldn't find a perfect one. But it was your custom to go to church. They show a no perfect synagogue in Nazareth. But you went to the synagogue as it was your custom. You went to church when you were here, so if you're here today, you'd do the same thing. And you got up and they handed you the scroll. Glory to God. And you turned over to the same prophet that prophesied about Cyrus. And you said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he hath anointed me to preach the gospel. On and on you went. These precious words come from your mouth. Then you laid the scroll down and you said, this day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. The people got so angry. They got so upset. They run you out of the synagogue. And the scripture said they was going to throw you headlong down a precipice. They was going to throw you down a bluff and kill you. No wonder people hate today when a prophet will stand and identify himself in the Bible
And they say he had no right to do that.
The same thing that was on them people in the days of Jesus. But you found the place that was written of you. That's what the scripture said. You found the place written of you. May we find the place written of us. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Oh, we expect to be hated and criticized, and they may want to do us the same way. Throw us headlong down a steep place. But we'll place our finger on that scripture and say, this day, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Praise be to God. We worship you, Lord. Oh, we've got to talk about bad things. We've got to talk about people falling away. We've got to talk about people backsliding. But we're only singing the song to carry it on down. We ain't singing about ourselves. I'm preaching about people going to be lost, but I ain't preaching about me. I'm going to preach about people going away, but I ain't preaching about me when I say it. Hallelujah, Lord God. I believe I'm going to be one of those that's going to come into my inheritance, Lord. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Can we raise our hands, Judith, in the presence of the King? Don't expect the devil now just to get scared and run. Or you can say boo devil all you want to. If you ain't got faith behind that boo, he'll boo right back. It ain't even how loud you boo. It's the authority in your voice. When he recognizes that, that's what puts him to moving. What do you need from the Lord tonight? Has a devil moved in on part of your property, your healing, your children, peace in your home and your marriage, your finances? Some of you fight all hell to even come to church. That's a devil trying to hinder you. That's part of your inheritance to come to the house of God. Oh my, to sit in the presence of the Lord and worship God with your brothers and sisters. Is that right, saints? It's part of one of the galleries we'll get to maybe a little bit later. Our privilege and honor to come to the house of God. Oh my. Hallelujah. You are his portion. You are the lot of his inheritance. Glory to God. Stand your ground and fight. And fight. And fight. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Jesus, may you touch her, Lord. May you make her well. Grant it, dear God, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
I believe, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm going to let you go, but let's just raise our hands just once more and worship him before we go. Let's just give him some water now on top of these promises that we've heard. Praise is water on top of these seats. Speak to the mountain now. Unbeknownst to you, a little tiny rock may have moved out of your sight on the other side of the mountain. When you spoke, you saw nothing, you felt nothing, you heard nothing, but on the other side of the mountain, out of your sight, a little rock started tumbling down. Your mountain is on its way out. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, praise God. If you're going through a tremendous time, a tremendous test, let me recommend a tape for you to go listen to. The sermon that Brother Homer was quoting from here Saturday night. Most of those quotes was coming from one sermon. It was called I Know. Preached 4:17:60, which means it was a sunrise service. I've used that service many times over the years and recommended it to other people. It's such a faith builder when you're going through tremendous times. It lets you know that Brother Branham is not preaching something that he hasn't experienced. He's been there himself. Whether you're in the valley tonight or up on the mountain, you know that God is mindful of you. And he loves you. You are his portion. Not only his portion, you are the rod of his inheritance. You are what he measured the new earth by. What did he tell John? Go get that rod and measure the city. When he told the children of Israel, they are the rod of his inheritance, it meant they were the measuring stick. Think about it. The measuring stick. Think about it. Your needs are so important to him. He would bankrupt heaven if he had to. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. If there ain't but one predestinated seed whose name is on that Lamb's book of life, he'll stall the entire rapture waiting for that one to become born again. I'm glad he'll do it that way in case that one would have been me. Praise be to God. He may call a meeting together and have lay a burden on a preacher's heart and do all this and that and the other because one saint of God had a need there. Why? You are the measuring stick. Many preachers have been used and motivated and inspired by your needs. Glory be to God. No wonder the angels of God will bow in holy awe and reverence as the measuring stick walks through the streets of gold that day. Heaven is as big as you need it to be. The walls are as high as it needs to be in the display of your character. The perimeter of it is determined by your number. The height is calculated according to your need. Lord Jesus, him coming to the earth was determined by your need for him to. The baptism of the Holy Ghost was determined by your need of needing the Holy Ghost. If all you needed was blood, that's all he'd sent. But he knew, Brother Skip, we needed the Holy Ghost. Our need for the Holy Ghost is why the Holy Ghost is here. Your need, all glory to God, is why God sent a prophet in this last day. Our need, the hour that we're in, the display of the darkness is the very reason God sent Brother Branham to the earth. I needed a prophet. I didn't just need another pastor. I didn't just need another teacher and evangelist. I needed a prophet. Malachi 4. My need dictated that God send a restoration message to restore our hearts back to the original faith. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's sing together, I love him, as we go. God bless you. Lord willing, I'll see you this weekend. Oh, Father God, let's just go real slow now. We'll start it out real slow. Sing it now with all your hearts. Lord, I love you. Because I didn't realize my needs did all this. I didn't realize the lot of my needs determined all this. And Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Heaven sounding sweeter all the time. Thank you, Lord. Heaven sounding sweeter
all the time. Seems like lately it's always on my mind. Someday I'll leave this world behind.
Oh, heaven sounding sweet
all the time. Sounding sweeter all the time. It seems like lately that's always on my mind.
Yes, Lord. In the Lord. Oh, heaven, it's sounding sweeter all the time. God bless you. God bless you, you rod of His inheritance, you portion of Jehovah's inheritance all the time. Thank you, Lord. It seems like lately
it's
on my mind. Someday I'm gonna leave this world behind.
heaven sounding sweeter all the time. Seems like lately it's all that's on my mind.